From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Today, This Week You is wondering what Last Week You was doing selecting that lineup. But there's no time to worry about that because Game Week 31 awaits with a Friday deadline. So let's make sure Next Week You doesn't get let down all over again. With tips, wildcard thoughts and more in this official Fantasy Premier League podcast from the Premier League. Hello there, Fantasy Manager. Thank you for joining us as we count down to Game Week 31. Here with us, we've got football writer and author Tom Williams. Hello, Tom.
Hello, James.
Analyst and stat obsessive Duncan Alexander of theanalyst.com.
Hello, James.
Maverick stat obsessive, I should say.
Well, yeah.
Sorry
yeah.
about that. Yeah. And also FPL diva Sam Bomfield of the FPL family. Hello, Sam.
Oh, I don't think I've ever been called an FPL diva. Hi, James.
Well, nice to see you. Oh, my God, Sam, look out behind you. It's Tom Williams. He's now just 4 points below you in fourth place in our mini podcast league. Crikey. 4 points, Tom.
Closing in to the theme tune from Jaws week by week. I've already swallowed Lee Bonfield whole. Next up is Sam.
Gosh, that's a scary thought.
Won't rest okay. Until I've beaten
yeah,
them both.
Let's just take a second to deal with that. Sam, how do you feel?
Oh, I'll be fine, James. You know what I'm like. I've had a couple of average game weeks and I've allowed Tom to get a glimmer of hope, but this week I will snatch that glimmer of hope away again.
Have you allowed it, or has Tom gone out there and snatched it for himself? We shall see. Tom is in fourth place, 4 points behind you in third. Duncan and myself, we don't need to worry about our positions. But top of the pile, Mark Southerns, of course, he's top 6K OR in the overall standings, and he's a bit of a distance ahead of you two. Well done, Mark. And then Jeff Downs. Nice. Anyone wildcarding this week?
No.
Nope.
No. All right. Loads of, you might be listening, loads of people are after game week 30. We'll be discussing best options for that a little bit later on. But just as we look back on last weekend, two major blows, I think, to a lot of our FPL strategies. One was Son and Bale getting left on the bench in Spurs game. And the other, probably biggest of all, was West Brom blowing the doors off Chelsea at the Bridge. That was a real shock. Particularly after Daniel on this podcast last week had been bigging up Chelsea defenders.
Sorry, James, Tom, just sorry. To add, and you had the latest edition of the Pep Roulette leaving out your John Stones's, your João Cancelos, your Ilkay Gundogan's, etc. So a tricky week for FPL managers everywhere.
Yeah, potentially the same questions arising about Man City, certainly this coming game week, in between as they are two legs of a delicate-looking Champions League quarter final. What about Chelsea? Many thanks, by the way, if you could pass this on to Lee, Sam, because it was Lee who stopped me tripling up on Chelsea defenders last week, and thank goodness. They're against Crystal Palace. Was this just a blip, or should we be concerned with rumours of training ground bust-ups and the like afterwards?
I mean, I think personally it was just a blip. We did see a bit of rotation in that Chelsea side this week on the back of international duties and people coming back from their travels. And, you know, we shouldn't forget that they were down to 10 men. And when you lose a defender in that way, it's always difficult. West Brom also were really, really up for it. And they have got something to fight for between now and the end of the season. So I wouldn't read too much into what happened. I'll still be sticking with my Chelsea defender moving forward.
Okay. Also, can I ask, who's the Wally who left Lingard on the bench last weekend? That would be me.
James.
No player. Yeah. Yeah.
Best player in the Premier League. Madness.
I know. But in a similar note, I was stunned because one of the things that I spent most time reproaching myself for this weekend was not getting in Diogo Jota. I spent the whole week thinking I'm going to bring in Jota and then forgot. But I noticed that none of us have him in our teams. Why is that?
Just a bit kind of bruised all season from, you know, Liverpool players not doing what you want them to do. You know, I had Firmino for a little bit, got rid of him, and then he had about two really good games, and then I got him back in. And it's quite, I mean, I think Jota is probably a relatively safe choice now. Although you would imagine that given the importance of the Champions League game next week, that Liverpool may rest him this weekend and play Firmino. But again, they may now deem that the Premier League top four is easier to to get than the, you know, than winning the Champions League. So it is a very difficult one to foresee. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I think Jota's a fairly good choice to get now. Just to sort of back up Sam's point about it being just a blip for Chelsea, not my words, the words of Thomas Tuchel. He was saying that Chelsea, you know, beat West Brom on all the important statistics like carries and expected goals and things like that. Obviously, the one semi-important statistic known as goals, they didn't beat them on. But I think it was just one of those odd matches that you get from time to time. You think back this season, you know, Spurs winning at United, Liverpool losing at Villa. It's been a season where there's been this sort of result.
Funny you should mention those results, because those were both reverse fixtures of games we've got coming up this weekend. And the point about West Brom having something to play for is an important one when we take a look at the long view, because a lot of the games, a lot of the opponents that we might traditionally have thought of as weaker are now battling for their lives or European objectives, and therefore that extra incentive could make all the difference. One positive note, meantime, about game week 30 is that the top captaincy choices are delivered. Kane in particular, selected by almost 2 million managers, Fernandes as well, and Mo Salah too. That's enough about game week 30, possibly. Let's look at game week 31. Game week 31 deadline is this Friday, 6:30 UK time. Ooh, 90 minutes before Fulham get the weekend underway against Wolves. This weekend, as I mentioned, the reverse fixtures of that crazy day back in October when Spurs won 6-1 at Old Trafford and Liverpool lost 7-2 at Villa. Leeds also that day had that 1-1 with Man City at Elland Road. Well, Saturday, those two teams, Leeds and City, will meet at the Etihad, while Liverpool host Villa, and then Palace take on Chelsea. Sunday, it's Burnley-Newcastle, West Ham playing Leicester, Spurs taking on Man United, and Sheffield United hosting Arsenal. On Monday, two games, West Brom Saints and Brighton-Everton. Now, Tom, you were saying, given recent events, not really easy to call any of those matches. So where are you going to go digging for your points?
So I thought I'd have a look at Liverpool-Aston Villa, not least because I am going to have three and possibly four players involved in this fixture. I think Liverpool's upturn in domestic form has prompted quite a lot of FPL managers to have a look at bringing more Liverpool players into their team. Diogo Jota is obviously fit and in the goals again, and as he was before his injury, very attractively priced. I'm planning to bring him in for Mo Salah. Lots of people bringing in Trent Alexander-Arnold, who is the most transferred in defender in the game week so far. I'm thinking about bringing. Bringing him in, but having watched Liverpool lose to Real Madrid last night, having watched how badly they defended, not just Trent Alexander-Arnold, but the whole Liverpool back line, I just wonder how many clean sheets we can expect Liverpool to record between now and the end of the season, even with their very favourable run of fixtures. So I'm contemplating just, I've got two free transfers in the bank, and I think I might do Salah to Jota this week, but maybe just hold off on bringing in Trent Alexander-Arnold to see how Liverpool's defence fares against Aston Villa. Of course, as you said, Villa won the reverse fixture 7-2, not expecting a repeat of that. But you just think Ollie Watkins back in the goals last weekend, running in behind that patched up Liverpool back line. I wouldn't be surprised to see Villa get on the score sheet here. So yeah, perhaps caution is advised when it comes to bringing in Liverpool players.
Okay, what's the update on Jack Grealish's status?
Jack Grealish, it still seems a bit mysterious. I think there was an expectation that he was going to be back in the squad last weekend, and then of course he wasn't, which surprised people. I've not seen anything over the last few days to suggest that he's sort of nailed on to come back in for the Liverpool game. I mean, we know how important he is to the way that Villa play. I mean, you know, we saw that in their most recent game. You know, they do really miss him when he's not there, and their chances of pulling off an upset win at Anfield would be significantly enhanced if he does play. But again, if he is declared fit before the game, I think that's even more reason to perhaps just hold back before, you know, loading up on Liverpool defenders.
Fair enough. Sam and Duncan, what's your take on Liverpool Villa?
I think it'll be a really interesting matchup, to be honest. For me, Jota is, like we've been saying, he's going to be the go-to. Whilst I think Salah has improved lately, and we've seen that as the boys mentioned, in the Champions League, but also in the last league game, Jota's so much cheaper. And that saving of price tag just means that you can invest that across the rest of your side as well. So instead of spending 12.4, I think, salaries now, you can spend virtually half of that, have Jota, who's been involved in 50% of Liverpool's goals when he's been on the pitch. So he's got these really good underlying stats to back him up, and he's going to save you an awful lot of money that you can invest elsewhere.
I think to back up Tom's point about the clean sheets, if you remember the 7-2, the reason Villa kept scoring was because they just kept picking Liverpool off over the top. And that's essentially what Real Madrid did as well in the Champions League this week. Nat Phillips is good at kind of heading and clearing the ball, but he's not possibly good, you know, chasing back. So I think they will definitely try and do that again. Now, whether Liverpool take steps to avoid that, we have to wait and see. But yeah, I kind of share the view that defenders are not the way to go with Liverpool. I mean, I'm tempted to get Alisson in just for his moustache, but that seems, you know, not
Maverick.
A wise kind of... Yeah. Well, yeah.
You say take steps. Now, I wonder, given the performance in Madrid, whether Klopp, and the fact that Villa obviously did this number on them last time, whether Klopp would even consider moving Fabinho back into the back line, and what effect this would therefore have, given that he moving him back up into midfield is supposedly what unlocked all of Liverpool's attacking potential again. That might be a concern.
It's a bit like Jose Mourinho's old metaphor about the duvet cover, and if you pull it up too high, your feet are cold. If you pull it down, your head and... Well, I don't know, what did he say? Your shoulders are cold? That's sort of the issue that...
That's the short version.
That's almost the issue that Jurgen Klopp faces with Fabinho, in that he is probably the best fit player capable of playing at centre-back that he has at his disposal. Mm. But Liverpool looks so much better going forward when they put him in midfield. And also, you know, when it comes to, you know, to looking at Liverpool players who you might want to transfer in, this feeling that something fundamental has broken at Liverpool is still there. If Liverpool were to lose 3-0 to Villa at the weekend, I don't think it would really class as a surprise, because they've lost their last 6 home games. And that's just another reason to maybe proceed with a bit of caution.
Wow.
They've scored one goal in the city of Liverpool in 2021, and it's mid-April, which... for me, it's not what they'd expect. So, yeah, it's equally, you know, I thought they might struggle against Arsenal, and they didn't. I think Fabinho unlocks Thiago quite well. So that was why it was strange that Keita played in the Champions League. But, yeah, it's a very hard one to call.
Fabinho also makes Trent a better player, in my opinion, because I don't think that Trent has that relationship yet with Kabak and with Nat Phillips, that he can trust them to be there if he's gone forward and there's a counter-attack. And what the Premier League sides have learned, and what Real Madrid did so well in the Champions League last night, was that you can counter-attack Liverpool quite comfortably when Trent's gone forward. So if they move Fabinho back, I think that does make the clean sheet a more locked-in prospect, but that also takes away the potential upside for Trent and Robertson, which is why you want to invest so much money in those guys. So at the moment, it feels like you're having to choose between a clean sheet and some potential attacking returns for your defenders. And as a result, I'm not that confident that I want to invest.
Do you remember the easy days of last season when it was just a decision about, do I have Trent or Robertson or both? And then just watch the points roll in. It's a special time thinking back.
Yeah. Duncan, tell us all about West Ham, Leicester. West Ham, top four. But hey, bad news from last weekend. Declan Rice is out of the picture and Mikel Antonio's gone off as well. So what does that all mean?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they coped quite well with it, winning away at Wolves on Monday, although Wolves did do their best to come back. And I think that's where they will miss Rice, is that he has been the most effective box-to-box midfielder in the Premier League this season, along with Souček. They're two of the players who've covered the most distance in the Premier League, and they will miss that. But in some senses, I think they're set up to cope in the fact that they're the deepest lying team on average in the Premier League this season. And when you've got a very deep counter-attacking team, which is essentially what all the best David Moyes teams are, you want someone that can carry the ball well from midfield. And they managed to get Jesse Lingard. And it's not really a surprise that he's basically the most informed player in the division, because he suits this team so well. You know, he's made 8 carries ending with a shot in the last few games. And, you know, I think I wouldn't have left him on my bench last weekend, that's for sure. But I think he really has the potential to to be incredibly productive over the last few weeks of the season. And let's not forget, this is a top four Champions League place super clash. You know, Leicester and West Ham could be representing the Premier League, both of them, in the Champions League next season. So it's a really intriguing game. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I've got three West Ham players. I don't have any Leicester players currently, but I'm almost certain to swap Iheanacho in for Calvert-Lewin, I think.
Iheanacho you're going for. And this is ahead of Leicester's good run of fixtures. Why Iheanacho ahead of, I don't know, one of the Barneses or Madisons, etc.?
I just think, you know, he's always been a player with loads of potential. He sort of came through at City, at Man City, at roughly the same time as Rashford did at United, and they were seen as kind of similar prospects. And obviously Rashford has progressed a lot further, but, you know, Iheanacho is the Premier League Player of the Month for March. And he just finally looks like, you know, Brendan Rodgers is very good at kind of adapting systems to get the best out of young players. And I think that's the point they're at. And I think we're almost at the point where he's, you know, Jamie Vardy's season, if you take away the penalties, has not been very productive. And I think we're at the point now where Iheanacho is possibly the fulcrum of Leicester's attack. And I think, again, like with Lingard at West Ham, I think he'll keep up this form for the rest of the season.
Just to mention that West Ham have not got a good record defensively. If you are eyeing up a Leicester attacking players, Hammers only one clean sheet in their last six. They've conceded 98 shots in that run, which is the second worst record in the Premier League. So,
and yet, who's the top scoring defender in the whole game? Aaron Cresswell. I mean, therein lies the mysteries of FPL.
Yeah, he's been good for me. But just a quick one, last one in Iheanacho. 8 of his 27 Premier League goals have come from the bench, so he does have that capability to kind of come into a game and hit the ground running. So I understand Sam's point, but I'm going to back him, see what happens.
Let's get on to Sam's specialist subject, Tottenham Hotspur, who will be welcoming Manchester United to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium this weekend. Crikey, where are we at now with Spurs after last week's disappointments and some more frank words from their manager post-game? What do you think?
Oh, James, it's tough being a Spurs fan right now, and it's tough owning Spurs players in FPL. But given that they have a double game week coming up in game week 32, the majority of FPL managers will be looking ahead and thinking about who they can invest in. Now, of course, game week 31 on paper looks like a difficult fixture, but even with the woeful times that we've seen from Spurs of late and the last minute dropping of goals, they're actually top for goals conceded in the last 10 minutes of matches this season, above all the other teams. They just don't seem to be able to hold on to a lead right now. But they have won their last five matches in all competitions at home. So there is a little bit of hope going into this game. Of course, as we mentioned earlier on this season, this was a ridiculous game. Martial sending off, Fernandes with a goal for Manchester United, and then two for Son, two for Kane, and Ndombele and Aurier both involved in the goals too, as well as assists for Kane and Son. They were absolutely hauling in that match. And to be honest, we've seen that a number of times from Kane in particular this season. He has that potential to haul. And we saw that in 4 minutes against Newcastle in game week 30. So I think if you don't own Harry Kane, why not? Particularly going into game week 32. Yeah. He is going to be so important. There's also been four penalties in the last three Premier League games between these two sides. So Fernandes and Kane both looking to be decent options, if nothing else, but for their penalty availability, it's, you know, them that takes the free kicks. And Kane, just to add to his stats, because we all know I love him so much, has got 41 FPL points in the last four game weeks. So he is on absolute fire. I think when you look to the other side and start looking at Manchester United, it's a bit tougher to call because Luke Shaw has been absolutely phenomenal for Manchester United at the back this season. And he's been somebody that I've really enjoyed owning. No FPL defender has more clean sheets and attacking returns combined than Wan-Bissaka and Luke Shaw do. They've got 12 each. So actually, I think they both look like nice options. I don't necessarily see they get a clean sheet in this game. However, the potential for attacking returns is definitely, definitely there. Fernandes, on the other hand, went for a beautiful run a bit earlier on in the season where he was just hauling left, right and centre. But of late, it has been a little bit more hit and miss. And I think for FPL managers, there's been a lot of chatter lately about whether we hold him or not. Because, you know, one assist in each game, it's not the big points returns that we're used to seeing from him.
Briefly, what to do if you've got Bale, Son, Moura, those kind of players, particularly Bale and Son who got benched last week?
I've sold Bale this week. For me, I think that his comments whilst on international duty, as well as his general kind of performances of late, haven't really stepped up to the level that Mourinho expects of him. Son, on the other hand, I think you definitely hold. He's just come back from injury, got 45 minutes where he looked comfortable on the pitch. So he's one that I think you just hold, you play, and he'll get back into the team starting 11, I'm sure, for game week 31.
Super.
Yeah, agree with that. Like Tom Williams, Bale's just focused on Wales at the Euros, it looks like. So
can't lie.
All right. Man City... we mentioned earlier on the rotation misery which Pep inflicted on unsuspecting managers in game week 30. Is you expecting more of the same against Leeds this time around in the middle of these two games against Borussia Dortmund?
I mean, it's you just don't know, do you? And I think the fact that City have got this blank game week coming up in game week 33 means that it makes sense to ditch your City players anyway.
Right, all
so
of them,
I
Tom.
Will be. Well, I mean, I will be progressively ditching City players over the next 2 weeks. I'm counting on only having João Cancelo on my bench in that blank game week, and then we'll sort of see how the rest of the season looks. But I mean, you know, they're still in. They're going after four competitions. They've got the League Cup final coming up.
Right.
They've got an FA Cup semi final coming up. They're in a good place to qualify in the Champions League, and Guardiola has the squad depth to rotate constantly. So, I think my patience with City players has finally run out.
Okay. A quick random mention for Chris Wood, whose Burnley team are taking on Newcastle. Newcastle. And he's doing really well, Chris Wood. He got a goal and an assist in game week 31 against Saints. He's picked up in total 27 points over his last three matches, also scoring against the Gunners and Everton. What do you think, eh? 6.2 million. If you're looking for an Antonio replacement, good shout.
He's only ever scored in four consecutive Premier League games once in his career. And there's always a point in runs of form in FPL where you look at a player and you're like, this can't carry on. This is definitively not going to continue. And then invariably it does until you then do get the player a week later. But
yeah, but is that point usually when the player is facing Newcastle? Probably not.
Yeah, maybe. Fair point. But, yeah, maybe this is the
I'm not
the
tempting
year of
you.
Wood. No.
Perhaps. Mm. Okay. All right. Well, one to consider then. Anyway, we'll talk about some more top picks, particularly for people who are deploying wildcards. But next up, it's Longview. Hey, let's do some long-term planning. We love, of course, the Premier League's fixture difficulty rating chart available at fantasy.premierleague.com. But when you're reading it at the moment, how much do you have to factor in other things beyond the nice colours that the fixtures are painted in? Like things like motivation, desperation, that kind of thing. Tom?
Any FPL manager worth his salt will always be factoring in those external elements. But yeah, I think as the season approaches its conclusion, those elements become more and more important, because by the last sort of 2 or 3 weeks of the season, it could be that, you know, there's only one relegation slot left to be filled and only one Champions League slot left to be filled, and you'll have multiple teams with very little riding on their fixtures. Managers start rotating. I still think that, you know, that there are enough live elements in the table yet to be settled that you don't need to worry about that too much at the moment. But it's something to bear in mind as we head into the last 3 or 4 weeks of the campaign, I'd say.
All right. Well, game week 31 is where the fixture swing was kicking in. Everyone was going to wildcard. Remember a few weeks ago, everyone was saying, oh, it's going to get good for Wolves and Liverpool and Leicester. Suddenly, swathes of blue painted fixtures. Sam, you've now shifted your wildcard plans to game week 33, and neither Duncan nor Tom are wildcarding either. When are you guys looking to play the wildcard?
I have spent my wildcards, so this is
it. All right then, Duncan.
Been a few weeks. I think I'm fairly happy with my team. Maybe to the blank game week will be the thing to base it around. But
okay, that's game week 33 when Spurs, Man City, Fulham and Southampton do not have a fixture. Okay, well, what about the teams that are mentioned as having particularly attractive looking runs coming up? Wolves, Liverpool, we mentioned already a bit, Leicester too. Sam, Spurs as well, who've got that weird situation of having a double and then the blank straight after. Wait, Wolves, are we bringing in Wolves players?
I made a note on my little fantasy football planning document a few weeks back that said, bang on Wolves in game week 31. Right. And I was thinking about bringing in Connor Cody for John Stones, and I'd like to bring in Pedro Neto at some point. And then I saw how badly Wolves defended against West Ham on Monday and thought, yeah, maybe Wolves defenders aren't the way forward. So I'm holding off on bringing in Cody, but I think I would like to bring in Neto at some point. Because, yeah, just to run through those games, away at Fulham this weekend, yeah. Home to Sheffield United, home to Burnley, away at West Brom, home to Brighton. I mean, if Wolves can't sort themselves out and get some clean sheets and some goals in that run of games, it's never going to happen.
Right. Liverpool's fixtures, Aston Villa at home this weekend, Leeds away, then Newcastle at home, then Man United away, then Saints at home, then West Brom, which is why a lot of people are looking at the likes of Robertson and Trent and Mo Salah. Leicester too, West Ham away this weekend, then at home to West Brom, at home to Crystal Palace, away at Southampton and at home to Newcastle. Those are sweet, sweet fixtures.
But this is where the end of a season can be harder to predict. You know, last season, Leicester kind of fell to bits a little bit in their aim to finish in the top four and started losing games you'd never expect them to lose. I'm sure Sam remembers a few seasons ago when Harry Kane was very keen to win the Golden Boot and scored 7 goals in 4 days.
Could happen this season as well, Duncan. We play them at the last day of the season again.
Yeah, and he's definitely someone who's obviously got an eye on getting as many goals as possible as he closes in on Alan Shearer slightly. So there are all these little sort of sub-narratives that come into play towards the end of the season. So it is worth keeping an eye on that. There's going to be teams that become, you know, D-mob happy towards the end. I mean, Brighton, if they secure survival, maybe the pressure will go off their shoulders and they'll start finishing all these good chances that they keep creating.
If any team are likely to be on the beach already, it is Brighton after all.
Yes, that is true, yes. Although quite a pebbly...
Not a great beach for me, Brighton. The pebbles.
Okay. Mm. Sam, tell us about Spurs then. What's the strategy? You've, beyond the issues with Mourinho and the inconsistency of the team, it's this attractive double followed by the very blank game week.
It is, but then you look beyond the blank game week. That was very, very difficult to say. And they've got Sheffield United, Leeds and Wolves. So actually, you know, the fixtures beyond look nice for holding them. So I think there's definitely a balancing act to be had here with Spurs. Obviously, you're going to want to have them for the double up as the only side to double in game week 32. So they're going to be wise investments, but then you need to be able to bench them. So going into game week 30, I had Son, Bale and Kane. Going into game week 31, I'm just going to have Kane and Son. But my plan for game week 32 is to bring in Hugo Lloris as a second keeper option, because that allows me to have 3 Spurs players and I can just swap him back out for Martinez for game week 33, allowing me to have a rotating pair of keepers. And then as part of my wild card, I can deal with the issues of which other keeper that I want to have. And I think that way you're not taking up one of those precious bench spots, because we also have to consider that most FPL managers are going to have Man City. And what you don't want to do is double up or triple up on Spurs, be doubled up on Manchester City and get to game week 33 to find you're spending half of the points you gained in game week 32 by shipping out these players in game week 33 or not having them to play at all, which is even worse.
Or playing your wildcard in 33 if you still have it.
Yes. I mean, that's the way I'm currently thinking about of dealing with it, because I'll be going into this with 4, 3 Spurs plus a Man City. But obviously one of those will be a goalkeeper, so it's less of a problem. I will still have a sub. But for managers out there that don't have that luxury or that are more heavily invested in Man City than I am, or invested in Fulham and Southampton is the other thing to say, then it's probably a nice strategy, because I do think that Kane and Son, particularly with Spurs' full focus on the league after game week 33's League Cup final, they're going to need to win those matches if they want to get into Europe, if they don't win that final. So for me, those are fixtures that I would want to be invested in those Spurs boys for.
Gotcha. Well, that brings us on very nicely to this week's Twitter question, which is, if you are still holding a chip or a wild card, when are you planning to play them? Hashtag FPL pod on the Twitter And we asked you this week, if you're still holding your chip or a wild card, which is a chip to be fair, when are you going to play it? David says he's considering a KDB triple captain against Leeds. Oof, what'd you say to that?
Yeah, my worry is, does he actually start? Will he play the whole game with the Dortmund game next week in mind? So I probably wouldn't.
So my triple captain strategy is what I'm calling heritage captaincy. And basically, Sergio Aguero is going to get a chance in the final weeks of the season. He's going to get 3, 4, maybe even a classic 5-goal haul in one game. Now, it involves bringing him in and then triple captaining him, which is quite a tricky, you know, strategy to work out. But I'm going to try and do it. So I think what better way to honour one of the greatest strikers in Premier League history than to you know, use him to mop up some points, if you can predict it correctly.
Brilliant. I like it, Duncan. We'll keep track of that as the weeks roll by and we grow closer to the goodbye to Aguero. Other listeners, Matt says, I still have bench boost and triple captain to play. I'm looking at Kane for the triple captain in double game week 32. And I'm holding off my bench boost until game week 34-36. Adam, triple captaincy, Kane in 32 or later if there's one more double game week. Wildcard 33-34-35. All right, wildcard this week for Tom. Triple captain next week on Kane. That is a popular choice. Although Ewan's going to triple captain Joe Ellington against Burnley. Brilliant stuff, Ewan. Good luck to you. Yep. And Lee says, it's wildcard week for me right now. All advice welcomed, please. I need to close a 90-point gap in my mini league. Crikey. Who should Lee get in then for their wildcard team? Tom?
Well, Lee needs to be strategic. And the first thing I would do is look at the leader of their mini league and figure out how they can close the gap. Because there's no point getting in a bunch of players that the person you're trying to overtake has already got. So that would be my first port of call.
Okay. In terms of the players that, you know, regardless of who that leader has in, who would be your first picks from a supermarket suite, a trolley dash of FPL assets?
Just because it's not a shock to anybody, I have Harry Kane because of the double.
Harry Kane.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, I know you're all shocked. Hold the back page.
I mean, if there was a chance that West Brom could get to play Chelsea again, then Callum Robinson would be a shout because he's scored 5 goals in the Premier League and all of them have come against Chelsea. But
right,
it seems unlikely at this stage that the league will be tampered with to such an extent. Like Tom said, if you're trying to make up a gap, then you've got to really gamble on a, you know, someone that very few people are going to have. And then, okay, you know, that's why people should join me on my Aguero Heritage Tour. I think it's the way to go.
One little bit of wildcard advice would be that if you are looking at defenders, if you want a City defender, I think the only defender worth getting is Ruben Dias because he's the only one who's going to play every game. And I think if you're looking at Chelsea defenders and banking on what happened against West Brom being a one-off and not the start of some, you know, calamitous late season collapse, then Cesar Azpilicueta looks the only nailed on defensive Chelsea starter in every game.
So Ruben Dias, Azpilicueta, Mount and Sergio Aguero. That's to be getting on with, Lee. Fantastic. Okay, well, let's wrap it up then this week by just checking on what transfer moves we are actually planning ahead of Game Week 31's Friday 6:30 deadline and also who we're going to captain. Transfers and captains. Duncan, you go first. What transfer for you this week? Or transfers?
I've only got one. And I don't really want to waste any points. So, yeah, as I said, I'm going to go Calvert-Lewin to Iheanacho, which frees up some cash as well for next week.
One-ish, not that I would advise against that, given DCL's recent form, but the fact that Everton and Villa have got a double game week to come may come to rue getting rid of your Evertonians when that week comes around. Just putting it out there.
That is a reasonable point, but I kind of lost faith with DCL. Earlier in the week with his wayward performance.
Still no word, by the way, on that outstanding Everton Villa game, which is going to have to slot in somewhere after game week 33. So, Sam, any ideas on when that's going to be?
No, they haven't really said. I mean, a lot of the fixtures will depend upon how they decide to play out the end of the season in terms of fans in stands and the fixtures in that way. So I think there's a bit of waiting on the COVID situation before they make arrangements for those final games that need to be rearranged.
All right, then. Let's hear about your transfer for this week.
So I have already made my transfer this week. I made it on the back of the Liverpool game yesterday evening. I just had enough with Gareth Bale. And I mentioned earlier, I want to bring in Luis as part of my game week 32 bench boost strategy. So I wanted to get rid of one of my Spurs players. So Bale went and I bought in Diego Jota. I think that the Liverpool man is the one that's likely to take the next games by storm for them.
Okay, I also brought in Diogo Jota and we'll sit him on the bench alongside Lingard for this week. Tom, what are you going to do?
I will also be bringing in Diogo Jota, in my case for Mo Salah, which will free up funds for game week 32 and 33 planning. And I may also do Trent Alexander-Arnold in for John Stones, but as discussed previously, starting to suspect I might actually hold fire on that one.
I see. And Tom, who are you going to make your captain?
I might just give the armband straight to Diogo Jota in a crazy show of faith in a new recruit, which will surely disgust all of his new teammates. But I just think you look at the fixtures. You know, you've got a lot of very well balanced games that are hard to call. Spurs against United, City against Leeds, West Ham, Leicester. It's hard to see where all the goals are going to come this weekend. I even thought about...
Unless it's Chris Wood against Newcastle.
Unless it's Chris Wood against Newcastle. I even thought about, as a differential, going for James Ward-Prowse. Southampton away at West Brom. But I'm top of a few of my mini leagues and I'm already starting to err on the side of just extremely negative conservatism by copying the teams of my closest rivals and captaining whoever everyone else captains. So that is likely to be a feature of the final few weeks of the season.
All right. Duncan, your captain?
I mean, tempted just to stick with Kane because he's on a hot streak. But then my boy Jesse Lingard, I think, he's done so well for me recently. I can see him doing the same against Leicester. So, yeah, it's between those two.
Leicester are so good on the road, though, Duncan.
Yeah, I just think West Ham are set up perfectly to beat them. So we'll see.
All right. Sam, you know what? We don't even need to ask. Brilliant. Actually, thank you for being with us.
You'll be surprised, James. You'll be surprised because my armband currently is not on Harry Kane this week.
What?
In a rogue strategy, which Tom won't like because he's just said he's trying to catch me, I also have my armband on Diogo Jota. Came in last night and I moved the armband straight to him. Genuinely I have. I've got vice on Harry Kane, but I think for me, I'm sort of playing the fixtures a little bit. They've both got form. They're both playing really well at the moment. But I do think that Liverpool have something to fight against in terms of that result that they had against Villa earlier on in the season, and Manchester United the same against Spurs.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll see. Remember, the deadline is 6:30 UK time on Friday evening. For more great content in the meantime and resources, why not head to fantasy.premierleague.com where there's loads of great articles and tips, and of course the FPL show with myself and Jules Breach with more confusing advice. Brilliant. We'll return with the official FPL podcast next week. Best of luck, everybody. Many, many thanks to Duncan, Sam and Tom for being with us. And we'll catch you next time. Bye.